Today's scripture reading will be coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Morning. It is so good to be together. I have to enjoy this view for a little bit. We are going to be in Ephesians 1, if you'd like to turn there. Before we dive into the text, let's have our prayer together, please. Father, come to you so very grateful for who you are, for all that you've done for us. And, oh, fathers, we are here today that we've come this far because of you, that you've been with us every step of the way, that you've helped us even when we weren't aware of it. And Father, we want to see more clearly all that you've done. And then we realize, Father, not only have you been there for us, but we see those who have come before us and how they've had a part in who we've become. And their examples of faith and their encouragement, their help. So, Father, we want to thank you for everyone. Help us, Father, to be a people who are there for each other, who are there for those who follow after us. And help us all, Father, to keep our hope, keep our hearts focused on you. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, our memories are interesting things. You think about how many things do you remember from when you were five? Now, if you're five now, that you don't get a say. When I was five, we lived in Taylorville, Illinois, in a little farmhouse. I don't know how much acreage. My dad had planted corn on the year or so we lived there. What I remember about that little house, I remember walking into it when we'd been out of town and lightning had struck the television antenna. Now, for the younger folks, that's how we got TV. We had to have a pole with an antenna. And it blown out the TV, and I remember walking through and all the charred remains refrigerator and everything that was there. I remember the little white poodle that we had that got out one day and ran out on the freeway that crossed in front of the house and didn't survive. I remember the kittens that our cat had had, and then the one that did not live from circumstances. I won't tell you all now because we have lunch in a little bit. I remember carrying the little paper bag with that kitten so we could bury him out in the at the edge of the cornfield. I remember getting in trouble for playing in the seed corn that my dad had put into the planter behind the tractor, and my brother and I thought for some reason it'd be fun to go out there and run our hands through that seed corn that was coated with pesticide. Do y'all see a theme of my memories from when I was five? You're starting to wonder if I had any kind of joy, I'm sure, at the age of five, but I'm sure I did. But the thing is, I don't remember those regular days. All those 400 or so plus days that we were in that house, that we just played and we ate and we had a good time. Because our memories tend to stick when they're connected to our emotion. Especially those negative emotions. I know all of us can remember something somebody said to us that was hurtful. Although they may have said thousands of words otherwise, we remember those words. But we can also remember the really happy times. And we can look back at the joy of what happened when Kobe was born and I sat there holding a camera to take a picture. The doctor had to say, "Dad, here he is, take a picture." And I can remember that moment. We put an emotion with it and it sticks with us. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is reminding us of the depth and meaning of what we have in Christ. He begins with this, hasn't God been so good to us? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you hear what he said? God has been so good to us. And the theme you'll see over and over through these verses, in Christ, he'll say in him over and over and over again. And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gets that emphasized over and over again to remind us to say, look how good God has been to us. Look at what he's done for us beyond anything we could have ever imagined. And to be able to grab a hold of that and live from it. Because when you think about where we've been, how many of us in our lives have ever felt unwanted or felt like we were stuck on the outside and everyone else was in? And we look at that in relation to God and realize how many times we have felt that God, yes, he loves people, but is it us? And in that moment, he turns that around and he reminds us that he chose us, y'all catch this, in him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless inside. That choosing of we want you, that God says, I have wanted you since the beginning of time. I have wanted you before time even began. That he's been looking forward to us, that he's been there for us, that we were wanted, that we were planned for all along. The NLT says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And when you think about it from this perspective, have you ever watched a woman expecting a little one and she hits the point that all of a sudden she is not satisfied until the house is ready? She works. Now, this is probably firstborn. I think pretty soon you get down the line and it's like, we're good. We've got enough stuff. But when they start to nest, they're getting ready. The baby hasn't even arrived yet. And their whole life now is aimed at getting ready for the arrival of that little one. putting everything together, getting everything arranged, making sure everything is right. And God had done that for us. Before we were even born, before we were thought of by anybody else, God said, I am planning for you. And I so much am looking forward to you being one of mine. I have chosen you in Christ, that in Christ we find that. That in Christ we are wanted. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. You'll see how many times Christ is referenced in there. Now, that word predestined has gotten really mangled up so much, but we just have to remember that God looked ahead and saw us and go, ah, I'm getting ready. Because everyone, He knew what He was planning for in Christ. And so for every one of us that have put our faith in Christ, God said, I've been looking forward to this for so long. That He had put that together and planned that we were wanted, that we were made family, that we were included and brought into to who we are, that we weren't on the outside. Peterson says, long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. That God anticipated, they looked forward to us. That those times that we felt like we had no place, that those times we felt like we were excluded and on the outside, God has said, oh, I've got something so much better for you. I have something so good for you. I've been looking forward to you for a long time. That in Christ, He has been waiting for this moment for us. And that we've been given that. It's like God has been so good to us that He brought us into that. Now, when we look at that, we know we don't deserve anything God has done for us, do we? I don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve any of God's mercy or any of God's grace. I don't deserve any of the blessings that He's provided for us. I stand knowing that if it was up to my track record, I have no hope at all. I don't deserve any of this. And there's nothing I could do about that. Because I dug my own hole and I'm at the bottom of it, and there's no way I could get myself out of this. But what God has done, He says, there in verse 7 and 8, in Him, there that is again, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. It's not just, oh, God's forgiven us. Y'all catch the description He's given? When God forgives, He describes this as riches that He lavishes on us. That there's no doubt, there's nothing lacking at all. We have not been forgiven by the skin of our teeth. There is more. And have y'all ever seen how much food whenever we have a meal? Oh, if y'all were old enough, for the younger folks, you could have been here and seen how much food was laid out Friday evening. You know what happens at the end of the evening most times we have a meal? Picking up all this leftover. There's more than enough. Anytime anybody walks in and we're having a potluck, what do we say? And they say, oh, I didn't bring anything. What do we say? Stay. There's plenty. And it's that picture that He gives us about our forgiveness, where we say, I don't deserve this, Lord. And He says, that's not the question. That's not even the point. I am here to give you forgiveness, to provide the riches beyond measure of what you have. And so we are forgiven beyond anything we could ever imagine. That in Christ we've been given a lavish grace to where we ought to sit back and go, wow, I couldn't even imagine what God has done. He says, with all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the fullness, the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ, and that in Him we have been brought into His purpose. That our lives now, that what God has done, He says, let me tell you what I've been planning all along. Let me tell you what I've been hoping all along for you. And we've been included in that and brought into that. not because we deserve it, but because of who He is and what He's done for us. And that we are at times in life, there are times that we should, when we understand what God has done for us, that it should just take our breath away. I say, wow, God has been so good to us. Look at what He's done. In spite of what I've done in my life. You know, in our lives, there are times because of what we've done, we feel the burden of shame. We feel the burden of guilt. And we can put, I like this picture because it gives us a contrast. We can put a nice, sunny exterior on to everybody around us and talk about how we're doing good. We can smile. We can act like everything's fine. But underneath the surface of all that, how many of us have ever wrestled with feeling the shame of what we've done in the past? How many of us have wrestled with the doubt of knowing what we've done and whether or not we have any standing? How many have wrestled with feeling the guilt for what we've done to other people, what we've said to others, what we've done with our own hearts, and knowing the truth about that? It's like, oh, there's no way I could ever get out of this. But what we see, He says, let me tell you that in Christ, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Now we got to remember that we are given the Holy Spirit so that we can know that we are His. This is what God says. You, if you're wrestling with guilt, if you're wrestling with doubt, if you're wrestling with shame, God says, I've given you something. I've given you the Spirit so that you know, no matter what has gone on before, that today you are mine. That's what God is telling us in His Spirit, that you are forgiven, that you don't have to worry, because it's not based upon what you've done in the past. It's based upon what God has done today in Christ in your life. That we are able to stand and know the reason I am forgiven, the reason I have confidence, is not because I have it all together, but because of what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. My confidence isn't because of me. My confidence is because God has been so good to me. And I'm going to hold on to that. Knowing that this is my hope. This is how I live. I'm going to trust Him. Because He is the one that can be trusted with all I have and all I am and everything. Now Paul, there in verse 15 and 16, he says, you know, when I heard about that you had trusted and that you had put your faith in Christ Jesus, it's like, oh, and your love for all of God's people, man, he says, like, this is something good. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. You know what the idea that he's praying for these folks also implies, and he's going to talk about here to come, is he is hoping and praying that there is so much more good to come. That we're just not stopped here, that in this moment we can go, we've come up out of the waters of baptism and we're going, oh, this is all I've hoped for. He's like, Paul comes along and says, I am praying because there is so much more that can be in your life. There's so much more to come. And so my prayer for you, he says, for one, that you would grow in your faith. Now you think about, when we talk about growing in our faith, what comes to mind first for you? I want you to grow stronger in your faith. I want you to trust God more. And sometimes, if you're like me, I start to think about what is it I need to do so that I can trust Him more, that my faith will be stronger. There's something I need to be doing to take care of all of this. And the thing is, we start getting back to our focus on ourselves. You know what Paul does? Paul doesn't say, you better shape up and trust God more. He didn't point the finger at us. He says, you know what I want for you so that you trust God more? I want you to know Him better. I want you to know more about God and who He is. Because if you know Him more, your faith and your trust in Him will deepen. Because it's not about us doing more in the sense of becoming stronger on our own. It's all about learning about who God is. So he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I want you to understand more about who God is, about how much He is a God of love, how much He is a God of mercy, He is a God of grace, that He, when He looks at us, that His desire is for us, that He wants us to be home. He wants us to be His. And so when we understand who He is, we go, I don't have any doubts in Him at all. I'm going to hold on to Him. When we learn more about who He is, it's like, I trusted Him before, but I know, because the more I know about Him, I can trust Him with everything, every part of my life, because of who He is, instead of being all about us, and how we can trust Him in everything. And then once we get to know more about Him, then we'll realize the depth of what He's done for us, the hope that we've been given, the power that is at work in us. Because when we talk about power, when we talk about hope, sometimes we use hope. Well, you know, when we talk about heaven, is heaven yours? And sometimes we use hope and, well, I hope so. And that's not how God wants us to use hope. When God talks about hope, it's like, I know. This is my hope, that I can live here. The power at work in us is not the strength that I have, but the strength that He has. So he says, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance and His holy people. I want you to know more about and have confidence in of what you've been given. That you can know that is someplace I can stand. I know what God has done for me in Christ, and so I don't have to doubt at all about what is ahead of me. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about when I take my last breath. I don't have to worry about any of that, because my hope is in Christ, and that hope is sure because it's in Him. It's not about me. And so I want to put my confidence in there. And then he says, and is incomparably great power for us who believe. So that power that's at work in us. He says, that power that he's working in us is the same power that as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. He says, this is the power that is in you, that could take Christ when he lay in that tomb, not a breath in him. He has been dead for 3 days. And in that time, that in this power, he brings him back to life and he lives. Is there anything in us that God is not going to be able to accomplish based upon the power he has? The work that he's working in us. How he's changing and working in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. This is the power at work in us. It's so great. God has been so good to us. You know, it's interesting to me how our memories have an impact on what we decide is best. We took a poll today and said, where would be the best place to live? What's the best place to live? Some of y'all are going, anywhere but Andrews, Texas. That's what Jeremy believed. We didn't have enough in West Texas. He was ready to move east. He loves DFW. Some of y'all are going, I would never live in Dallas-Fort Worth. For all three of my kids, their mecca was College Station. Y'all know some people like that, don't you? that think College Station is all that. Most of them have a ring that say a particular university on it. The reason my kids thought College Station, Bryan College Station, was so wonderful because we spent 10 years living there, and they grew up in elementary school and on into junior high in Bryan College Station. And for them, their memories was that was the best place on earth. It's interesting how memories have an impact on us. So for us, in Christ is where we have more blessings than we could have ever imagined. Because it's here we find the forgiveness that we've needed for a lifetime. It's here we find the grace that God extends to us when we stumble. It's here we find a love that is so hard to comprehend because, oh, how could anybody love me like that? It's here we find the peace so far beyond what we could ever understand. But it's in Christ we find everything we need beyond our imaginations. Blessings that He gives us to be able to say, God has been so good to me. Maybe today you're ready to take that step to trust Him, to trust His promises, to gain the forgiveness that He has extended through Christ, to put Him on in baptism, to start out that brand new life. Or maybe as a child of God, you've forgotten all that God has given you. You've forgotten and tried it on your own, and you know you need to trust Him, and we can pray with you. Gather around you, but whatever you need today,